Hey everyone, before we kick off the show, I'll just quickly say that this podcast was recorded before some significant injuries occurred on the weekend and earlier this week. Connor Blakely, Ollie Wines, and of course, Alex Fasolo. But yes, Ollie Wines' rank would likely be affected considering he's likely to miss a couple of games early next year following shoulder surgery. Keep that in mind and enjoy.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors. We'll be talking midfield rankings on the show. You'll be hearing our top 40 for the Dream Team AFL Fantasy formats. The Supercoach pod is out now as well with Steve and Jono, if that's your preferred format. I'm Doss, and joining me is a man a few beers deep and ready for a hot take or two, Cam Corns.
Mate, I've been listening to the Hot 100 today. As you know, we record the show a little bit earlier than when we release it, and sinking a few tins, and all I remember is, or all I can think of is, the Grandpa Simpson quote, "I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was, and now what I'm with isn't it anymore, and what it seems is, what it is seems weird and scary to me." Man, I have no idea any of the songs that are in the Hot 100. None. I'm sunk.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're a bit getting a bit on there, Cam, to be hip and with it with the Hottest 100. Even old Dossie's past that age, I think. But the Statesman cranking the Hottest 100 loud and clear, feeling fresh, and he's taking a break from reading Callum Mills' hype articles. The Statesman, welcome as well.
It is on just above us in the beautiful deck in the sunshine, ready to go with a bottle of Pinot as soon as we conclude here. So I think I'll get to the last 35 songs or so. So I'll sit up there. And yes, I know all the songs because I'm hip to it. I'm down with it.
Oh, man.
Whatever.
I'm glad there's no visuals with this podcast because... that little move maneuver was not too good there. Okay, we're going through the midfield ranks on the show and using Cam's rankings, then discussing. Let's get going with the top 10.
All right, so with Titch out, McRae number one, Zerett number two, Coniglio number three, Kelly number four, Matt Crouch number five, Neil number six, Paddy Cripps number seven, Treloar number eight, Fife number nine, and Yo, number 10.
All right, Statesman, I think there's one pretty big difference there in the top 10. You want to walk us through it?
Yeah, so most of them are reasonably similar. We just have two players in the 8th, 9th sort of position that are quite different. Treloar, I can cop. I have him at 10th position, not 8th. But what you're missing there, I do believe, Cam, is Dusty Martin and Clayton Oliver. And the person you probably have what I consider in the top 10 that shouldn't be even considered in the top 10 is Nate Fyfe. Now, I'll just talk about Nate Fyfe because this is no doubt a superstar player. So don't get me wrong, Brownlow medalist. But he's only ever twice played more than 20 games, and he's only ever got over the ton average in AFL fantasy scoring three times. And they are, in the three times, 104.8, 102.2, and 102.1. So he doesn't consistently get on the park. Not only that, he doesn't actually score that big in that form of the game. Of course, on Supercoach, completely different circumstance. We're talking 123.7, 122.3, 113.9, 106.4, 108.7, 105.4. And as you can see, I'm just rattling off average of tons easily in Supercoach, but just not there in AFL fantasy. Now, the person I have in place, Clayton Oliver, has only had three seasons in the AFL. Obviously, his initial season was just 13 games and an average within the 60s. But his next two have been a full 22 rounds, something Nate Fyfe has never been able to do. And he's averaged 101.5 and then 109. So we're talking his total scores have been 22, 35 and 2400 in total for the season. Nate Fyfe has only scored over 2,000 twice in his whole career, and nowhere near the figures, 400 less than Clayton Oliver as a total for the season. So, yes, I agree he's a fantastic player. He's remarkable, but he's injury prone, number one, and he's actually not a really big scorer when it comes to AFL fantasy.
I think that's pretty much bang on, actually. And it's, to be honest, when I rate, I've got a tendency of people that I'm just a little bit unsure of going into a season that are either coming off a significant injury or there's, you know, a bit of uncertainty about what's going to happen with the positions at their club. I have a tendency to rate them lower so that I don't have to pick them. I just kind of, I let other people deal with it and other people pick them. And I think that's kind of what's happened there with Oliver. Because I have him at 13, which isn't that far off the money. And probably in the same ranking. I think the other one, though, is maybe a little bit more of a contrast between us being Dustin Martin. So you sit him at, where have you got him?
Number nine,
whereas I throw him in at number 17. So I mean, give us your reason for number nine.
I think your number 17 is a reaction to his average this year, and I think there's no doubts. And I talked about it in the coaches panel top 50 recording last week, where it was a case of he coming back, his body not so great after the Brownlow and Premiership year. The desire wasn't there and his role was changed. We all know that Richmond were one of the worst AFL fantasy clubs last year, although they're one of the best actual football teams. I think that will actually change as they need to change to get back on top. So they'll be restructured, and I think Dustin Martin will be back to his mid-100 position. So about 106, 107 I'm expecting for average, and I think that's around about the top 10.
Yeah, it's bang on for where you'd select him on that average. I'm not as confident that he can get as high. I think you'll see an improvement, but more around the 100 and maybe 102 mark, and hence why I drop him down to about 17.
So is the reason you think, Statesman, that Dusty is going to take the big leap back up the rankings again to average very high again, is that because mainly the niggling injuries, or is it because you think he'll be playing more midfield with Tom Lynch in the side? Because like you're saying, their game plan was not a high fantasy friendly one at that. I think they were fourth lowest AFL fantasy scoring. Plus, Dusty still led the Tigers in fantasy scoring, even though he only averaged around 92. Why would they have to change when they did finish top of the ladder? And, you know, we're pretty unlucky, I guess, in the finals to come up against a hot Collingwood that, you know, took their game plan and just beat them at it.
You lose, and what's the line? If you're second, you're last. So you have to change what you do. If it wasn't successful, you need to change. Now, we all agree that the only one ruckman and Sean Grigg coming in as the fall guy is over. Is that fair?
Yeah,
they've learned that lesson. That's done. So they will go, well, okay, what else didn't work? Well, one of the things is that they didn't really have an option up forward outside Jack Riewoldt as a tool. So therefore, it was Caddy and at times it was Martin trying to fulfill that role. Now, yes, I agree he'll still spend time because he's so dangerous, but he'll rest there rather than actually be set there. And that's the difference. They'll want to actually get on top of the clearance game, because what did Collingwood and West Coast, number one and two from last year, actually do? They actually controlled that midfield. The difference between the two teams when it comes to the Premiership day ended up being some key forward options. So Cox didn't work out that game, did against Richmond. They'll want to change that. So they'll want to get in control of the clearances, which Martin's the number one beast. So he'll spend more time in there. You've got your second forward. Obviously, there needs to be a bit of a change of what they do with their ruck setup. Unsure what that looks like yet, but I'm pretty comfortable that that will change and that'll give them more chance to get more clearances.
All right, fair enough. And with the Clayton Oliver situation you were mentioning, do you think because of all the question marks that Cam was illustrating, do you think maybe now he does present pretty huge value in draft now because of the question marks? If he's going to be the same player he was last year, there's obviously the shoulder surgeries, double off-season shoulder surgeries, people are concerned about the role, maybe the Viney impact. But do you think now if he's not being considered as one of these top, top midfielders, he could present huge value in the draft now.
Oh, absolutely. Let's face facts. If he didn't have double shoulder surgery and there wasn't a question mark on his potential dropping away with the Viney scores, then I think you'd find that Oliver will be in the top five for everyone once Mitchell left.
Yeah.
So I've already devalued because of a couple of those question marks. So he's actually sitting in the second half of the top 10.
Yeah.
And so I believe, yes, he's not going to be as good as what the potential is, but I wouldn't also be surprised if he didn't make the top three scorers of the year.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Cam, do you want to take us through your dream team midfield ranks, 11 through 20?
Yep, no problem whatsoever. So at number 11, I've got Saidi. I have Sebros at number 12, Clayton Oliver number 13, Andrew Gaff at number 14, Mitch Duncan at number 15, Lockie Hunter at number 16, Dusty at 17, Angus Brayshaw at number 18, Rory Sloan slips in at 19, and Dane Beams at 20.
All right, Statesman, pick it apart.
Well, the biggest thing I've got to say straight here, why didn't you learn that lesson from last week? Where's Toby Green in the top 20?
Oh, mate, I'm still recovering from that, actually. I've got third-degree burns on my body. It's rubbish.
I'd say one of the ones that sort of sticks out to me, and I can understand why there's a bit of a change of thought process, is Luke Parker. You don't have him in the top 20. I think he has just got scoring potential. And with Hannah's gone, I just think there's a bit more focus on him getting the footy and the clearances. And he's one of those players that can score whether he's forward or midfield, but he can just go big. We've seen him with a massive ceiling within the 150s. And there's also another one that I see about seven positions ranking different, and that's Angus Brayshaw. I think, why are you so low on him?
So I'm actually a big fan of Gus. And so my 18 was maybe begrudgingly going in there, but I want to see it again. I really want to see it again. He was stellar last year, but until that I can see that he backs it up in the first few games this year, like I'm happy to let someone else take that. And he could potentially go bigger this year. He could go massive, but I'm happy for someone else to take him on this year, I think.
And the other one that we've got slightly different is Yo-Yo. You have him in the top 10, and I've got him in the second load of 10. And my rationale is there, and yes, he can go massive, but I'm just not convinced that West Coast Eagles have said, okay, we let him off the leash. I still think he's a role player in their eyes. In other words, Martin goes a bit crazy, then, hey, yo, go and stop him. You know, you athletically, you can. So how often does he go, okay, you've got to take control of Rory Sloan. You've got to get hold of Luke Parker when he drops forward. You've got to look after Dustin Martin. I can just see him forever and a day getting those 30 scores because he's had to play a lockdown role. And that always gets me a little bit worried. So I just, on salary cap, I can't spend the money unless he's a defender. You wear a 30 if he's a defender, but not as one of my prime mids. So I just can't have him in the top 10 until I see him constantly out of those roles.
Yeah, and I think it's almost the same point where you need to see him, but I think I saw enough last year in regards to them letting him off the leash. And they have people like Hutchings and similar that can play that lockdown role if need be. I would be very surprised if the Eagles, wanting to go back-to-back, didn't let their star mid off the leash this year. He's going to be, I think, pretty big.
Hey, another one in there, Lockie Hunter, he's both in your top 20 and no problems with him being there. But we always talk about the Luke Beveridge situation at the Dogs. Is he one now that has his role? Remember, just last season, the year before 2018, he had that drop off and then was back to his best in 2018. Do you see that role now just being his, the sort of uncontested pill, maybe Andrew Gaff light, if you will, and just remaining him in that top 20 pretty securely now?
I would have had him much higher if you were free to see him as the seagull that he is.
Yeah, fair enough.
So if he had the freedom to be just a collect the footy whenever he wants, I'd think it'd be a fair bit higher than our 16 and 18 respectively. But because of that type of role, we're a little bit unsure. I think he sits at that back end of the top 20 rather than pushing forward. And we've seen little patches of him where he's in the top 10 in the comp.
Yeah, for sure. And Sloaney as well there. Remember his massive, massive start of the season. I think maybe it was a couple of years ago now. He's now named the co-captain this year. Could he also, aside from Brayshaw, who I also think looks to be pretty big value should he hit his straps this year, could Sloan be another one that's pretty big value in the top 20 there?
Yeah, captaincy works so well for scoring for the Adelaide Crows, doesn't it? Yeah. His ceiling is massive, but you just see him as the one that gets the attention. And that always puts that question mark and probably keeps him a little bit down. I think he... from memory, it was 2 years ago, he averaged 107, which is, I mean, you're starting to talk top 10 when you're getting around that level. But I'm just not comfortable that he gets the attention released from him. I mean, that would really hurt Matt Crouch. Could you think that's the next person they would look at? Or possibly a Gibbs. But Sloan seems to be the man that gets the pressure, and he seems to get affected by.
Kind of surprised he sits ahead of Beams for you though, Cam, and even Heppel, really, considering his season last year. You don't buy that Beams will be hitting those straps considering the Collingwood stacked midfield there. Beams sits at 20 for you, I think, there, Cam.
Beams is at 20 purely on history, to be honest. So for me, he's been so good for so long in the fantasy game, and even though he has niggles every now and then, he's still just such a beast when he's on the park. But so is Saidy, but so is Treloar, but so is Tay-Tay, but so is, you know, like, Pendles. I just have no idea. Like, take a dart and throw it anywhere in that vicinity, and you'll probably get a good pick. And of the two, I'm probably thinking it's going to go Treloar, Saidy, then Beams as third, but they'll probably sit in that top 20.
All right, well, before we move on, a reminder to please drop us a rating and review on iTunes. We're trying to reach our goal of getting 100 before the first game of JLT, which is just under a month away. Leave a rating and review and support the show. Let's go through your 21 to 30 ranks, Cam.
All righty, so number 21, Dyson Heppel. Number 22, Ollie Wines. Number 23, Luke Parker. Number 24, Gelwood. Number 25, Mark Murphy. Number 26, Dane Zorko. Number 27, The Idea of Brad Crouch. Number 28, Taylor Adams. Number 29, Bryce Gibbs. And number 30, Tim Taranto.
Please tell me about your idea.
Look, it's Stevie Fizz's gag, but it's just... I really like Brad Crouch. I like both Crouch brothers. He's every single year, he's hyped so much pre-season. And then he gets injured either in the pre-season or in the first few weeks and you barely side him. But, you know, 2017, come around again. Ooh, you're going to get some value out of that kid because he's going to average 100 if he plays. So, for me, 27 is pretty good value for him. And Stason, you don't even rank it. He's not in your top 40.
No. I like more than an idea, to be quite honest, when I'm making selections in a draft. I will ask the question because one that I see ranked quite differently is Taranto. I don't see a world now Dylan Shield's gone where Taranto is not increasing his midfield time by 10 to 15%. He's definitely in that rotation. He has shown he has a massive ceiling. So we're just talking one player out of the midfield last year and his scores just shot up. You got Callum Ward aging and they need to look through. You've got both him and Hopper that are going to get more time and they need to build because they're the future midfielders for him. If Kelly stays, the three main ones are Kelly, Taranto and Hopper for the future. And that's what you got to see happening. So averaging in the 90s when he spent limited time in there this year, or sorry, previous year, 2018, I just can't see a world where he's not averaging 102 to 103. So you have him at 30, I have him at 23. I'm extremely hot and can't wait to see where he ends up in our mock draft next week because I rate him highly and think that I wouldn't be surprised if someone goes early on him.
Yeah, look, I agree. Like, Taranto is going to be massive next year, and as far as third-year breakout is a great second year. But he is, for me, like, the talent at GWS, including Callan Ward. Callan Ward's boring, right, from a fantasy perspective. He's very, very boring, but he does very well consistently. He's only 30. So I just don't know if... You know, just him getting long in the tooth probably isn't a good argument for Taranto to get more time.
No, I don't think I don't think that's the reason why he gets more time.
Yeah,
I just think in part of their actual build, they need to get Hopper in there as well. So they will sacrifice some time for Ward to give Hopper the experience as well. But Taranto's ahead of Hopper. Don't get any confusion of who the better midfielder is.
Is the fact that Hopper doesn't have maybe the same ability to be versatile maybe in the detriment of Taranto in terms of they need the midfield time, but because of the Ward, because of the Canelio, the Kelly, they just can't fit all of them in there? And because Hopper, do you think Hopper's probably not as versatile as Taranto and being able to swing, you know, up forward, do you think?
Absolutely. But when you're trying to win games of football, you put your best in first. What it brings into discussion is whether Hopper should be in the team or not.
Yeah, that's yeah.
It won't be. He's talented enough, but it won't be. Oh, because Hopper can't play in any other position, we're going to put Taranto in the back pocket. No, that's not happening. Taranto's a better midfielder than Hopper is, and yes, he's more versatile. It just means Hopper is on and off the ground in the midfield. Taranto's in the midfield and then gets a little break up forward.
That's a fair enough argument, I guess. With Taylor Adams as well, I mean, there's 8 spots difference with you. Statesman, you've got him around the 20 mark. Cam, 28. He's become sort of a bit of a polarizing figure in the Dream Team landscape. And Statesman, you've got something to say about Taylor Adams. He had the hot finish last year, but we got Beams coming in. I think we've talked about the dartboard scenario of which Collingwood midfielder is going to stand up. What have you got for us, Statesman?
I'm sorry, I've listened to Calvin and Roy way too much, and I need to apologise to everyone. I've been sucked in as well. But their point's very valid, but it's the same one we're having with Hopper.
Wow. What, not fit for the team?
You're right. It's the same conversation, right? Because, you know, he can't play anywhere else.
Yep.
Yeah, he'll be in the
Well, he can.
Yeah,
he
played
just
halfback,
not at
right?
AFL level.
Oh, yeah, just that's it. Because he was terrible, so bad.
He's all right for our fantasy teams, though. He's as a defender. That's
yeah,
pretty
absolutely.
Good. That's pretty nice.
Brilliant.
All right, well, I guess if we're done with the 21 to 30, we can move on to the final 31 to 40.
Tell you what, this will be the lowest that you've ever heard this name before, but Scott Pendlebury at 31. Braden Fiorini.
Oh, yes.
32, there you go. Clean yourself up. 33, JPK. 34, Jack Steele. 35, Liam Shields. 36, Rocky. 37, Jack Redden. 38, Callum Ward. 39, JOM. And 40, Shields.
All right, quickly, could I take us back now to the argument about Taranto before and where he's ranked for 23 for Statesman here? And we've got Jack Steele coming in at 29 for the Statesman, 34 for Cam. Why does he not get any love from you guys going the way he finished the year? I know Hanbury's coming in. I don't care about Hanbury. I'm sick of talking about Hanbury. I think Jack Steele is now one of their primary mover in there. Jack Stephen proved last year that his best role is bursts through the midfield because he can run, sprint, carry, have those massive bursts. But Jack Steele's going to be in there. He gets the roles to tackle. He can absolutely rack up the pill. And I think since I saw him go head-to-head with Paddy Cripps in round 17 last year, where he got obliterated, he got smashed in the first quarter by Cripps. But then he clawed his way back against a star of the competition and ended up beating him on the fantasy score sheet. I think it was 124 to 122 or something. It was pretty close. But I just feel Jack Steele is being underappreciated. I know the Alan Richardson factor, but I want to hear you guys' take on Jack Steele being so low here, in my opinion.
Ugh, I think I've heard enough about why you think he's so good. I can tell you that much. But he's just kind of... He's been almost there for a few years, and his ceiling has been actually pretty low. It took him a few years to break his first ton from memory, and then he finally did
at GWS. So sorry, just
go but on. Even at the Saints, like it took him. I think that's where he did it. But my hesitation with Jack Steele is that will he have the same role going into this year? The thing that I like is that he was part of the photo with Billy Slater, which means that he's maybe almost the poster boy going in for the Saints for next year. The thing that I don't like is that Alan Richardson is still the coach, and until that's sorted, I have no idea what he's going to be doing week on week. He's their best tagger. So
I think my biggest issue here is St Kilda have so many of the same type. And I'll agree that Jack Steele probably has the greatest potential of them all, but I think we'd be heading into, whether it was last year or the year before, with a completely different player from St Kilda, being Luke Dunstan, sitting in a very similar position. After having such a massive hot streak at the end of... and forgive me if I'm wrong, it's 2016 or 2017, but they're just so similar. I get a little bit worried because Sinclair's pretty much in the same boat as well. The only one is Baby Legs. It's a little bit different, but I think Hanbury is a little bit different. So I think it was important pickup for their midfield, but how they manage their midfield from here on in becomes an interesting question. So I think he's got massive potential. So I agree with you, Doss. I'm just not convinced whether we will see that potential continue for a whole season. And I'm quite happy to be proven wrong. And if I can get him that late in that sort of M3, M4 position, I'll be extremely happy.
No, fair enough. I love his, obviously, like you've said, the potential. I won't speak too much more about him. Seb Ross, Jack Stephen, and Jack Steele were all playing fully healthy for the last, after their bye. And obviously, I know you've mentioned the Luke Dunstan factor of being a hot finish a couple of years ago, but I do take that into account. But Jack Steele led them after the bye, 109.9. He did not beat Seb Ross, but he was their second highest scorer after the bye. I just love that. So, Statesman, sorry.
Sorry, how did St Kilda go last year?
Yeah, do you think they're going to be much better this year, though?
So they should keep things going the way they were. That's a great idea. No. If things are going bad, let's do the same thing. It's called the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
It's the same thing with the Suns, right? So that's what I was saying a lot through the off-season in regards to, you know, people saying, where do the new recruits fit in? Well, the people that are already there maybe aren't that good because they come dead last. So, I don't know. I feel like there's room for improvement all across the board at the Saints, so...
All right, before I shut up, I'll talk about one more guy. Fiorini at 32. Love it, Cam. 28 for you, Statesman. He is going to another level this year. Can't believe how young he is still. He's still 20 or something. I've watched him live when he came and played at Adelaide last year, and this is a team that was struggling to touch the ball that game. Fiorini, not only when he's getting the pill, but his defensive work rate for me just showed that he's going to be a star. The way he runs defensively, he was just illustrating what Stewie Jew's you know, trying to bring there. And I think he'll be playing every game if he's uninjured. I know he got injured last year. So if he'll be playing every game and racking up.
I love that. So Doss actually has on his phone background a picture of Jack Steele. But then on his computer background, it's Brayden Fiorini with Jack Steele. It's amazing.
All right. Somebody else talk, I think, because I've talked about my boys too long here. Anyone else in the 31 to 40 range we want to really dissect here?
Yeah, let's Tom Phillips, he didn't put in the 40. Why?
That's a really good point. And the main reason is, again, that Collingwood midfield mystery. I actually think, and I've said many times before over the weeks, that the Athletic people are probably going to be very, very good this year. And he's probably the most athletic at the club. Wins the time trial pretty much every year. So there is every reason why he'll be very good. He just missed the top 40, so 43 for me, which I think is maybe about right. What you have him at 40, is that right?
Yeah, look, I've held back because I believe that he had a bright future coming his way. Beam's sort of factor held me back. I would have made him in the top 30 if Beams wasn't there. He's ready for a breakout. Just depends what role. The other one, which I'm surprised, but obviously it's a situation of confirmation of role and that club again, that I think we both have quite low, but you have 10 positions lower than me, and I sneak him into the top 40, is the Bont.
Yeah, that's it. So for me, the Bont, you look at Libba coming back, and you look at Dunkley emerging, you look at McLean emerging, you look at... I see a world where Bont plays almost exclusively as a half forward.
No.
I know, but I reckon he'll have stints through the mid, and he'll play a very similar role to what he did last year, playing that swingman forward. And I'm happy to be proven wrong on that one. I'm probably not going to be, though. Statesman.
Just a really quick question. Where did Marcus Bontempelli play when they won a premiership?
You'll have to ask Beveridge because I think he's forgotten, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's right through the guts. And to be honest, if they just go back to playing high-pressure footy, they're probably going to be a very good side again because the team hasn't exactly changed too much. But
it isn't really the case is they've struggled up forward and that's the reason why they've had to try and throw down there. Isn't that partly or mainly solved now? So I think they've spent about 78% of their salary cap on their forward line.
But are they good? Tom Boyd may not, like he's overrated and overpaid, and Josh Shackey yet to prove himself, I guess. Like, I'm still sort of waiting for them to emerge as a forward line and work as a unit before I can consistently say that, yeah, this midfielder that's taller than average as a midfielder and explosive and can hit the scoreboard will exclusively play in the mid. Because if he's going to be scoring their goals, well, you put him near the goals.
Unfortunately, it might be another year away because you're talking about two guys that are still really young. Boyd's still really young. And Shackey's incredibly young, so like they might end up being really good at up forward eventually, but while they're in the growing pains, Bont might still have to. And it's just a shame that they don't have that because he's such a good midfielder, as we've seen.
Absolutely. And I think someone will potentially get a massive bargain with Bontempelli slipping down the leaderboard. And one thing we need to add on for one player that hasn't been discussed, another one of Doss's boys, and I would not be surprised if he climbs all the way into the top 30 in an emerging team, is being the suitcase himself. Doss, you happy we mentioned him?
Oh, very happy. The suitcase, Hugh McCluggage. We talked about Taranto. He's up at 23. Obviously, Hugh McCluggage had bigger junior numbers than Taranto, but hasn't hit his straps in fantasy scoring yet at AFL level. I'm personally of the belief that now with an emerging Brisbane midfield, he can be that player that does benefit from Lachie Neale being there, dishing it out, and also hit the scoreboard, which is where I see a big amount of his score developing. Also, that potential, he could spend enough time forward to get forward status again at some point this year. But if he does, I think it would be a beneficial thing because he'll be scoring well enough in the midfield as well. Just love Hugh McCluggage. So the downside would be if he plays more forward and then he becomes a forward. But then the upside is if he's a midfielder and plays pure mid, and I can see him going, you know, 95 to 100 definitely. It's possible. I don't see it as a definite thing, but that's why I think it's worth taking a punt at that point.
See, I couldn't agree more. And I'll tell you what, sneaky... I'm going to just say as a random thought, he would be amazing off the halfback. And just, he is such a silky ball mover. Imagine getting with it in the ball and straight to McCluggage. You're basically going to make it to your forward 50 pretty quickly. That's a brilliant connection, in my opinion.
I think the problem is it wastes his running tank that he has that he can use on the wing. Just one more thing with the ranks before we can move on again is Tom Rockliffe at number 36 for you, Cam, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And he's unranked.
Correct.
He's unranked for Statesman. You're predicting a potential bounce back there. Obviously, the very low time on ground, the injury-prone sort of stuff from Rocky now coming probably a bit more. He is probably a bit more injury-prone now heading into his late 20s. Statesman, he's unranked for you. Do you want to go through why that is?
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
He's had a good preseason. So he hasn't had any niggles. He's done the entire set, from what I can tell. And second year at the club, I think his role will probably set a little bit more, and the mids will have more time on ground at Port across the board. Hopefully see him back to his best. You just can't ignore that history. Like, it's just so good.
All right, sweet. Is there any other Smokies guys in the field there? One last one I'll mention, Aaron Hall. Could he pop into that top 40 by the time JLT's done?
Maybe. I'm watching a bunch of the North mids. Dom Tyson as well. Hashtag Dom Tyson. Dom versus Dom. So Dom Sheed versus Dom Tyson is a thing this year. I've challenged Archie to a Dom off, and there's a case of beer on it. But, you know, we'll see how we go.
My last Smokey, Jared Berry. He has the Nat Fife frame, and he's building on it every year. Apparently winning their 3 kilometre time trial. He's the one that's not being talked about. Jared Berry as a mid there. Could be a very late slider there. All right, thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. Check out the Supercoach pod with Steve and Jono and get ready for an epic mock draft podcast coming next week for the 200th show. We can't give much away, but it's going to be awesome. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review. Let's get it up to 100.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.